Well, we asked and you guys came through in a big way. My name is Caleb, and this is a bonus episode featuring your spirit stories. You live in a physical world, but the spiritual world, it's just as real, and it's all around you. And good news, despite what the movies might try to sell you, you don't have to be afraid of it. Spirit Stories is a storytelling podcast where everyday people share their close encounters with the spiritual. Because when we engage the spirit realm alongside God, He uses it to grow and strengthen our faith. And thankfully, you don't have to just take my word on that. I'll be honest, we weren't planning to do this, but we had so many amazing stories submitted to us via email that it really wouldn't be fair to just keep them to myself. All the stories were amazing, but we just don't have time to read them all. So we've picked a couple that show a great range. And I have my friend Alex, who also works at Crossroads. He's going to help read some of these stories. And I hope that these stories are as encouraging to you as they were to me. This story is from Christy in Fort Thomas, Kentucky. In 2003, my dad, who was a former Marine drill sergeant, was diagnosed with esophageal cancer, and for the next 18 months, went through grueling cancer treatment. He was a strong, fully alive man who was being reduced to a 100-pound shell of his former self. One morning, my mom called me and said, "I have to tell you what happened to Dad last night." My mom was a prayer warrior who prayed for her 5 children fervently. At 3 a.m., she was awakened and nudged to start praying. She prayed for the next hour until she heard the front door to her condo open and close, not knowing who it could be since it was just her and my father sleeping in the other room. She walked out and saw my dad standing there. He started sobbing, saying that he had been out in the car for the last hour, trying to run the exhaust into the car to end his suffering. He said for some reason it just would not work. She told him that it was because for the last hour, God had told her to start praying. This awakened my father to the power of prayer, and he spent the rest of his life praying for his 5 kids and 20 grandkids.
This story comes from Christine from Loveland, Ohio. When I was in the 10th grade, I was living in Texas. We lived in a ranch house. My room was in the front of the house with a high cathedral ceiling. My brother's room was at the opposite end of the hallway, rear of the house. One night, I was sound asleep. I instantly awakened and felt this overwhelming feeling of evil, fear, anxiety, anger, all of the above in my bedroom. The strange thing is, I was facing the wall, but I really felt like I could sense that something, some tall, dark, angry thing was looming over me, watching me. I was not a spiritual person, but I did know the Lord's Prayer. I started to recite it over and over. I was afraid to move. I never turned around. I don't know how much time passed. Maybe it was minutes, maybe longer. But after reciting the Lord's Prayer over and over, all of a sudden, I heard a giant thud on this trunk I had in front of my window. There's no other way to describe it rather than the sound of a fist hitting the trunk. I jumped up in bed and flipped on the light, and nothing was out of order. The intense feeling that was in my room was gone, just like that. The next morning, as soon as I saw my brother, the first thing I wanted to tell him was this feeling I had in the middle of the night. We were young and stupid back then. We had a Ouija board in the house and played with it often. I don't think my parents really knew we had one. Before I can tell him my story, he tells me that night he was playing with the board and called out to Lucifer. He said his speakers blew in his room. This was about the same time I had this phenomenon in my room. I am sure I had some evil presence in my room hovering over me. After reciting the Lord's Prayer, over and over, it left. I know to this day that the Lord is more powerful than any evil that tries to consume us. He was there when I needed him.
This next story is from Kevin in Cincinnati. I have always loved going to concerts. While I was in college, I started seeing a girl who liked some of the same music as I did, and also liked to go to concerts, so we started going to them together. There was a band coming to town who was known for being one of the early black metal or satanic metal bands. Their albums dealt with horror themes, Satan, and the occult. The frontman of the band was known for being a practicing Satanist, and not just doing it for the image or for the shock value. Now, I was never really a fan of their music. I didn't really care for them and wasn't really interested in going to the show. But the girl I was seeing had really liked them when she was younger, and she was very excited about getting to see them. So we bought tickets. Whenever I'm at a concert, I try to take some time and pray for the performers while they're playing. I don't really let anyone know that I'm doing this. I usually just focus on each band member one at a time and pray for them. I ask God to let them really know how much He loves them or to do something powerful in their lives and to let them know that He is there for them and really loves them. So I was standing there in the venue next to my date, praying for these things while the rest of the band members played. While I was in the middle of the prayers, the girl I was with suddenly grabbed my arm and asked if we could leave. I was really surprised because she was the one who really wanted to come to the concert. And so we left and walked out. Once we got across the street, she seemed to relax some and told me that she had started to feel really bad. Her head hurt. She was sick to her stomach, and she had some trouble breathing and just felt generally oppressed. She said that she had been feeling fine, and that it had come out of nowhere, and that it stopped as soon as we left the venue. She hadn't had any idea that I'd been praying while we were there, but once I told her what I'd been doing, we found that her feeling bad had started shortly after I started praying for the band members. I learned a couple of things from this experience. One, this has made me think that there really are spiritual forces that are around us and part of this world. I think that there were some spiritual forces at that concert that night who were maybe bothered or angry about the praying and wanted me to stop. Number two, prayer must be pretty powerful, because if it wasn't, it wouldn't have bothered anything, and they wouldn't have tried to make it stop. And three, God's power is so much greater than the other powers. I think that because I was praying, I was connected and protected, and the other forces were not able to affect me during that time to get me to stop. I think that since they couldn't affect me directly, they affected my date instead. I still go to concerts, and I still pray for every band that I see. But now when I pray at a concert, I first ask God to cover me and protect me and anyone else that's with me at the show so that I can pray for the band, the band members, and sometimes even the rest of the audience.
This story comes from Lizel from Cincinnati. Listening to the current series on Spirit Realm has drawn me to want to share a story with you all from my husband, PJ, and I. 3 years ago, this fall, PJ had to have a pretty invasive shoulder surgery. His recovery was pretty rough on us. To add to the mix, our middle son, Jace, was 4 months old. A week or so into recovery, a very heavy feeling had fallen in our house. It was seeming to affect everyone. Even our dogs were acting odd. I felt like I was carrying the huge burden of caring for him and everyone else alone, and one night, it just all got worse. PJ was sleeping on a recliner we had borrowed in the living room, and I was alone in our room with the dogs. The baby was sleeping terribly that night. He was screaming most of the night, which was completely out of character for him. Every time I was in his room to try to console him, I just felt scared. Like something was off. Someone was watching me. I finally brought him to bed with me. I could hear PJ being very restless and murmuring in his sleep. The next day, he ended up telling me that he had a very strange dream, but that it hadn't felt like a dream. He said dark, shadowy beings with piercing red eyes, long yellow teeth were attacking him. He wasn't able to breathe. They were on top of him, and some were trying to get to Jason and myself. He was terrified the entire time and didn't want to go to sleep the next night, all because of this. I told him what he was describing sounded like demons, and I instantly felt like we were under attack. That next evening would be the same with a screaming baby, loud husband, and tired mama. About 4 a.m., I became so frustrated and scared that I just started praying out loud. I prayed that God would bring peace to our home and whatever was bothering everyone would leave. I had the urge to go pray in every room of our house. It was not my idea or something I would typically do, so I went with it. I walked the house with the baby, praying out loud for protection, and telling Satan he had no power here and had to leave. I silently prayed over my husband, who at that point was asleep, and then ended in our bedroom. The last thing I prayed about was for God to send an army of angels to protect us, that they would surround our home and each person. I woke at about 10 a.m. and everyone was still asleep. I didn't say anything to PJ about me praying. By nightfall, I had decided to be proactive. As I rocked the baby to sleep, I prayed for protection. I prayed for healing over my husband and his shoulder. I then walked through the house and commanded Satan to leave us alone. Everyone, to my knowledge, slept wonderfully through the night. And again, I hadn't told PJ about what I had done the past two nights. Later that day, he told me he had more weird things to share. He told me that that night after the demons had attacked him, he woke up with the same feeling like they were going to come again. But instead, a man in a military uniform and a red beret walked out from the kitchen and leaned against the wall. He said he was fearful of this man, but not fearful that he was going to hurt him. More that he was just intimidating. This was the night I had prayed for an army of God's angels to descend on our home. PJ said he leaned on the wall for a few minutes looking around, smiled, and walked down the hallway towards our room, and then PJ fell asleep. The next night he said he awoke with the same feeling as the night before, but only to see a man wearing scrubs and a stethoscope around his neck. PJ said the man smiled at him, and he felt at peace. This was the night I prayed for healing over PJ. The man stood around for a few minutes and then left. PJ again fell asleep. After that, he was not visited again, and we had no issues like that. I told him about how I had been praying over our home and how oddly the military man and doctor he had seen coincided with my prayers for an army of angels and healing. We concluded neither were coincidences, and God had clearly answered my pleas. This has shown me the power of prayer, the authority I have over Satan because of Jesus, and strengthened my faith.
The story is from Deborah from Cincinnati. In 1996, I had the impression that I wanted to go to China and take Bibles with me. I contacted an organization and told them that I was planning a bike trip and that I would like to take scripture with me as I rode through China. I gave no thought to what dangers might arise if I did that. I just knew that I wanted to help the Chinese people know Christ. The organization that I contacted put us in touch with a printing company who gave us material to take on our bikes and pass out as we rode through the countryside. God broke through on the last day of our trip. I was frustrated because we hadn't had many opportunities to pass out the Bibles. In the meantime, I had come down with a respiratory illness because of biking in the Chinese smog. I was tired of not being able to keep up with the big kids on our trip, and I had had it. As my husband and I are pedaling on a shoulder of a four-lane highway going to a big city, he shouts for me to stop, and I ignore him. I just keep pedaling. He calls me again. He says, "Stop." Not very nicely, I scream back at him, "What do you want?" He said, "Look," and he pointed to a person coming toward us, walking across a field. He said, "Look, look at that girl." Our gazes followed her as she came across the field, up to the shoulder of the road, and stood right in front of me. We looked into each other's eyes. I was looking for an answer on what should I do or say. She said nothing. I said nothing. But somehow, I knew what she wanted. I put all the Bibles and Christian literature that I had in her arms without even thinking about it. We gave a nod to each other, and she turned and went back to where she came from. We got back on our bikes and rode to town. What really amazes me about this story is that God does and still uses a grouchy, frustrated woman who was uncivil to her husband to bring the good news to a tiny bit of China. We were never found out by the authorities, but when we came home, we heard of missionaries in China who were put into prison for passing out Bibles.
This story comes from Claire from Cleves, Ohio. So my husband and I have always talked about adopting a baby. Should we foster? Should we adopt? If we adopt outright, should we do it internationally or homegrown? All these thoughts were swirling around in my head. We had been talking about this for over 5 years, and it was starting to become a reality. I laid in bed one night and could not fall asleep. I was just praying to God as hard as I could, asking him, "God, what do you want me to do?" And I remembered a story from when I was younger. Basically, my mom had given this guy a yellow rose, and unbeknownst to my mom, this guy had asked God for a yellow rose if he was supposed to get married. So I told God, "You know what, Lord? Give me a sign if you want me to adopt a baby. Give me a white rose. That's my sign. If I see it, I will know it's you." So after that, I fell asleep, and I didn't think about my prayer again. In fact, I kind of forgot about it. The following day, we had a wedding that we went to for a good friend. We enjoyed the ceremony and the reception, and at the end of the night, they were giving away the flowers and the centerpieces, just trying to give things away as a part of the cleanup duty. One of the aunts from the wedding party starts offering me these white roses. I didn't even connect the dots between my prayer and the white rose she was offering me. And I said, "Oh no, thank you. I don't have anywhere to put them." So she said, no, take it. And she offered me another one. Again, I did not connect the dots and refused. I said, no, thank you. I really don't want that. She continued to offer me more and more and more. And at the end of the night, I finally accepted. I took a dozen white roses, and it didn't hit me until the next morning that I had prayed that prayer for God to give me a white rose as a sign that I should adopt. Honestly, I was laughing and crying at the same time. I was so amazed and so embarrassed I had missed the sign. He was literally hitting me over the head, saying, hello, here's your sign. Anyways, we're getting closer and closer to adoption, and every time I tell the story, I'm almost embarrassed that it hasn't even happened yet, because God has basically beat me over the head with a dozen white roses.
Our final story comes from Tamar from Cincinnati. When I was small, I lived in Jamaica, and behind our house was a tank that held rainwater. Here you would call it a well. I was playing in the back of my house, and I was looking in the tank because it had some very small fish. Usually the tank had a mesh covering over it, but not so on this particular day. I remember leaning over the overhang to try to get a better look at the fish, and I felt my weight begin to pull me over. I was so scared and thought for sure that I would drown. I didn't even have time to call out for help, and there was no one back there to hear me anyway. All of a sudden, I felt two hands pull me backward and place me on the ground. I looked around and there was no one there with me, but I felt a presence. Looking back on it, I know that God saved my life that day. Thanks to Christy and Kevin and Lizel. Thanks to Christine and Claire and Deborah and Tamar for sharing their stories with us. If you have a story and you haven't shared it with us yet, type up an email and send it to us, podcasts@crossroads.net. We would love to hear your stories and interact with you. And we understand that some of the stories in this series can be upsetting or can leave you with questions that are difficult to answer. If you have an immediate need, we are here for that too. You can reach out to the concierge service at Crossroads Church via email, hello@crossroads.net. Leave your name, your question, or concern, and if you'd rather have a call back than an email, leave a number where we can reach you. Someone will be in touch shortly. Spirit Storage is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.